Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
This is the deal. There's certain places and certain things that we really have no place being as believers. There are places where things of the world are going on, and they are intrinsically evil in what is happening. It's ungodly things that we have no business being a part of. But by you being there, you can be seen as participating in what's happening. And it's important for us to note that's what Paul is talking about. So, basically, there isn't a contradiction in verses 21 and 22 from chapter 8. There's not the contradiction. He's still standing the same ground. Yeah, you buy the meat, that's one thing. The meat is not a big thing in and of itself. But going and being a part of those gatherings, that's a problem. The meat isn't the issue. It's your association with something that represents evil. That's really what Paul's talking about. And that plays out in our lives in a multiple of different ways, and we need to be wise and we need to be cautious. What's really at the center, again, and at the core of those gatherings? Oftentimes, it's corrupt and it's evil. That's what's at the center of it. And we just have no business being. I absolutely have no business, and we as Christians have no business being there at all. There's nothing good that's going to come from it. Most of us have enough knowledge to know what has already gone on there. And I like this idea. He finishes up that one thought about this, that God is a jealous God. And I need you to listen up on this because I think the Lord really wants us to understand what he means when he says God is a jealous God. Because you and I automatically convert this into our understanding of jealousy. Jealousy from a human standpoint takes place from an insecurity. That's really where it comes from an insecurity and a sense of feeling threatened in some way. That's where jealousy stems from, and that's from a human perspective. So when we read that, we think, yeah, gosh, God's jealous, you know, that he's jealous of these other gods that I'm hanging out with. You've got to be kidding me. Is God that small? You and I would look at that immediately and go to it from that perspective because we're looking at God through these eyes instead of through the eternal perspective, and he is the one true living God. You see, the reality is God loves you. You know, I had an older sister, and I was cautious and watchful of my older sister, but I didn't have younger sisters. But I had friends of mine that I grew up with in the youth group at church as a kid. I went all through school from kindergarten all the way through school with some of these gals, and they were my friends. And I remember, even when I was in not walking right and flying right with the Lord, but I remember being even in the world and seeing them around at parties. And I'd watch because I knew some of the guys that we all ran together, and I knew some of the guys. And I knew how some of those guys handled and treated some of the girls. And so I was watchful on some of this because they were close friends of mine, and I didn't want them to get hurt. You understand, I was jealous for them in a right sense, but not jealous for them from a threatened sense or from a sense of personal affection in that kind of a way, but I didn't want them to get hurt. Do you realize that's what God's concerned about for you? He's jealous for you because he doesn't want you to be hurt. He doesn't want you to make decisions that are going to lead to damaging you and your journey with him. He doesn't want you to get pulled away and distracted with other things from that relationship between you and him. That's what he's concerned about. God is not insecure. That's not who God is. You see, God doesn't need me and he doesn't need you. He loves you. He wants to have relationship with you, but he is not jealous from a base human standpoint. You see, his perspective is he does not want the attention to go to these other gods, and then you become hurt because you've made poor decisions. That is godly jealousy. That's a right perspective, isn't it? You ever been so fervent in prayer for a friend, a brother or a sister, who's maybe just making inquiry about the Lord, and you're interacting with them about the Lord, and then all of a sudden, the Jehovah's Witnesses are knocking at their door every other day. All of a sudden, the Mormons are coming by on their bikes, knocking at their door. Are you jealous? Do you think the Mormons have something better than you? Do you think the Jehovah's Witnesses have something better than you? I'm not jealous about that at all. But there can be godly jealousy that can well up within us in, oh, Lord, please protect them. I don't want them to become distracted by these other things that would be harmful from this potential decision that they're about to make to follow you. You see the difference in that? And how our perspective, we immediately go to this kind of base view of it, and it's like, no, that's not God's heart. God's heart is like, man, he's jealous for you with a right heart. And from a perspective of, oh, how much he loves us and doesn't want us to become hurt. So this idea, when we read through this and we think about this type of gathering and the fellowship that's represented by offering things in an idol sense, idols, or getting caught up in these things, he's saying, hey, the meat's one thing, but don't get involved in going to the gatherings. Don't get immersed in that. Be wise, be cautious. Then Paul, verse 23, repeats something that he said already before, and he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful or expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So again, he states this thing, and he's just driving home this point about the freedom that we have. Use it wisely. Use it wisely, that it might be for the furtherance of the kingdom. Is it helpful, he says? Is it something that builds up? Those are great questions. Is it helpful? Is it something that builds up? Is my action or interaction going to be something that is building up? Is it helpful to others around me? And the idea is it does imply this relationship with others. It directly implies that, and how that is going to be perceived and how it works out and plays out with others. And people say, well, I can barely be responsible for myself. I understand. I get it. But in so doing, being responsible for ourselves, we also have this accountability in this relationship that we have to other people and how they perceive what's happening in your life and how that works out. And is it drawing people's attention to the Lord? Or is it just making this attention, drawing attention to the fact that, hey, I'm free as a Christian, I can do this, so I'm going to exercise the freedom. What is it that we want to leave people with? Is it helpful? Is it edifying? Great things to think through. Let no one seek his own, Paul says, but each one the other's well-being. Does it have a possibility? Does it have a possibility of stumbling somebody else? Is that possible? In that situation, is there a possibility that that's going to stumble somebody? Paul says, let no one seek his own. And this is all in the same context of exercising our freedoms. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market. Fair enough. Asking no questions for conscience sake. Well, was this offered to that demon? Was this offered to that demon? Was it offered to that idol? What's really going on? Hey, just don't ask any questions. And it won't matter because we know that the idol's nothing. But being more information means more information and an awareness of what it was, and it can start to play out in your life in a way that can make your conscience uncomfortable. So just, hey, don't ask anything. Just pray over it, buy it, eat it, and be done. Eat whatever's sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. I like this in verse 26 of the scripture that's quoted there. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. This is all God's. You remember Peter up on the roof? Peter kept arguing with the Lord when the four corners of the blanket kind of came down, and there's all these little critters running around, and he's hungry. He's up on the roof. He's getting hungry. And, you know, whenever you hang out up on your roof, you get hungry too. You know, it's just one of those things. Hanging around the roof makes you hungry. You know, their patios were up on their roofs, and they just were, he's hanging out up there, and he's getting hungry. And all of a sudden, he kind of goes into this trance vision type mode, and the Lord just starts ministering to him, speaking to his heart about some stuff. And he realizes that he starts talking about, hey, rise, kill, and eat. He's, oh, no way, Lord, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to kill that thing. That thing's I've never eaten those kind of things before. It's not kosher. You know, it's not approved. I can't eat that. Nah, come on. Don't say what I've called clean, unclean. Now, obviously, it was about food, but it wasn't just about that, was it? It was about the potential bigotry that was in his heart, potentially. As he was just about ready to cruise on over to Cornelius' house and hang out with him and watch all of a sudden the same spirit that fell upon them at Pentecost fall upon that same group. It's radical, man. He says, man, you can eat anything that's sold in the meat market, no worries. And man, you can, because it's all God's. And if any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Again, don't get into the discussion about it. I'm telling you, I have sat and eaten some really weird things before. Some in the United States, most of which though, outside of the States. Pray and go. Don't ask a lot of questions. Don't think about it. Don't, you know, just pray over it and eat it. This, in this situation, if you started asking too many questions and they said, oh yeah, well, you know, we picked this up from this place, and all of a sudden the conscience sake of it starts to set in. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. He says, wait a minute. Now you've gone to this person's house. They've bought this stuff. Now they're telling you and they want to see what you're going to do. They want to see if you're going to partner in this with them. And we need to be wise about that. We need to use wisdom in the Lord and maybe say, yeah, you know, maybe I won't eat any of that. Do not eat that for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. So for both sides of it, hey, it's just better just to, nah, you know. And then isn't it interesting that the same scripture is quoted? It's an interesting thing. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. And there are many that suggest, oh man, this is a misplaced scripture. It shouldn't be there. Really? You think so? I think it's a great place to have that particular scripture because it reminds us that there are many things out there. Okay, so you're not going to have a piece of the steak that they clearly said was offered to such and such an idol, and they're making a thing about it. Yeah, we went over and we're hanging around, and then we bought this meat from there, and they're making this thing about it, and you're like, yeah, man, I am not partnering with you on this. I want to hang out and be around you. I want to be a good witness. And if I'm partnering with that, that's not going to be a good witness. And so what is he saying? He's saying, man, you know what? Look around the table. What else is there to eat? Oh, it's all God's. Eat some of the other stuff then. It's all good. Eat some of the stuff that you do have freedom. You know, if we would remind ourselves of this, if we would remind our kids of this, God's not trying to rip anybody off from having a good time. There's plenty of other things to do. You see, it was interesting. In our home, we just did not, it was just our choice. We did not have anything to do with October 31st. We had nothing to do with it. Now, the kids at school, there were all these little parades and all these dress-up things and all this stuff. Our kids stayed home from school that day. And oftentimes, we would try and find some other thing. I'd try and get out of working that day. I'd try and go find, you know, get my schedule aligned so I didn't have to be either in the office or out in on a job site or something. I'd try and arrange my schedule that way so that I could be available, and we'd go all do something together. So they didn't feel ripped off because, man, there's plenty to do. There's a lot of other things to do. You have to be a little bit creative, and you have to think outside the box a little bit. Okay, you can't do that maybe. Maybe for conscience sake, you don't feel right about doing that. So we're going to just sit here. You can imagine telling your small kids, you know, you're not going to be a part of Halloween stuff, you know. You're not dressing up, and you're not going to be a part of all this, and there will be no candy for you. Oh, no, there was plenty of candy. I like candy. There's plenty of candy at the house. We just didn't want to be a part of that particular function. And it wasn't because of legalism or anything. It was just we just really aren't comfortable with it. And so we bowed out of it, just chose to not be a part of it. But man, we'd go, you can go to the zoo. There's a lot of stuff to do. You can eat ice cream. You can get other candies. There's all kinds of stuff to do. They never felt slighted, never felt cheated because of that. I think you got to think a little bit more creatively sometimes and look, work through it and realize that there's so much, even that sometimes for conscience sake, sometimes for just wisdom and freedom, hey, I better not, I'm just not going to be a part of that. It's going to be a better choice not to. And then he says conscience in verse 29, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? Interesting. Why would it be judged by somebody else's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That being one of the big keys. Do you notice that Paul is really working through in verses 29 through 33 as he works through this? I understand from a human logic standpoint, I understand you can build a logical case why all these different things are okay. I understand that. I'm not here to debate that with you on a personal level. That's not what that's about. I understand that. From a logic standpoint, all Paul is saying is, hey, listen, let love be the superior thing, and love looks out for others. Agape love is what's being spoken of, that love from on high, and it looks out for another's best interest. Not just the freedom and the exercising of your freedom or my freedom, but it looks out for the best interest of others that are involved. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, benefit, just benefit to me, but the benefit or the profit of many, that they may be saved. He says, you know what? I would never want to do something that would detract or take away from them being able to see who Jesus is and the glorious salvation that he has provided for us through his grace and his mercy and the suffering that he took place on the cross for you and for me. I want to do nothing that would take away from that wonderful thing that Jesus has done. I want to do nothing, absolutely nothing. I want to let people see Jesus. He says now, man, Paul, with such great confidence in who God is in his life, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He says, I represent Christ. And he goes, man, look at how I'm handling things. Just do likewise. Man, what confidence he has, not in himself, but in his relationship with the Lord, who Jesus is in his life. He's saying, hey, I'm really aspiring to follow the Lord. I would encourage you to do the same. He says, watch me. Do the same thing. What a powerful, powerful statement. Very few. I would not say that. I would say, read your Bible and do what the Bible says. That, honestly, that's what I would tell you to do. There's a few things that you may be able to observe that might go fairly well, but other than that, I would encourage you, really, please, just read your Bible and do what the Bible says. That's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I encourage all of us to do. We have Jesus as our Savior, as our example. Watch him. Just a few closing thoughts, and we're wrapping it up. Just a few thoughts just to think through. Verse 30. These are keys. These are things that can help you in the choices that you make. Man, I learned this a number, many years ago. It has been very helpful to me in my journey with the Lord when it comes to freedom, love, and the exercising of the right to self sometimes that we need to really watch for, because everything in our world today is pushing that. Hey, you know, you have the right to do, you know, I mean, yeah, we understand freedom, intellectual, that's right. But man, love takes that higher road. These are good things to use in working through the choices that you make regarding the exercising of your personal freedom. The first one out of verse 30. But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? Is really, can you, in that function, in that activity, in whatever it is that's going on that you're speaking of, can I truly give thanks to God for it? Can I thank God for it? That's a great first just thought to think through. Is this something that I can really thank God for? The next one found in verse 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. does this. And again, this is stuff that's just stuff maybe many of us learned over the years, but boy, it's something to go back to and reflect on when you're making decisions. Does this give glory to God? Can I thank him for it? Does this really glorify God? Does this action, this activity, this thing that I'm doing, does it, can I, some way, does this give God glory? And that third one in verse 32, give no offense. Will this stumble or offend someone? Does it have potential to stumble and offend somebody else? Man, if we worked through those things, and again, when you start thinking about conflict and conflict resolution and working through issues, boy, even going through that simple idea and say, man, because when we look at this from the biblical perspective, we look at it from the heart of God, when love really is the overshadowing concept in this, you're going to find that there's a lot of things, and I'm going to find there's a lot of things that we won't do, not because we can't, but because we want to display love. We want to point people to Jesus, and we want people to see that love reflected in our lives. There's a lot of places that I don't go and a lot of things I don't do, not because I'm pious, I would be very far from that, and not because of anything other than, you know, I don't think you would be pleased. Not because I don't have freedom, but because I don't think you would be pleased. And I don't think God, therefore, would be pleased with me. So I don't. It's become a way of life for a long time. I don't even think about it very much, to be honest with you. I think that way as a follower of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with being a pastor, really. It has to do with just being having a deep desire to see other people come to know the Lord and to reflect him wisely and to show people love. Obviously, I certainly want to represent the Lord, represent the body of Christ. I want to represent Jesus in a right way, absolutely. But I got to tell you, when I first learned this many, many years ago, I gravitated to this, and I really try to think through things and work through things through this grid. Hey, is this really something that I can give thanks to the Lord for? Really? Is this activity something I can give thanks to God for? Is this something that really is going to give him glory? And wow, is that going to be offensive? Is that going to offend somebody or stumble somebody in their walk? Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear his word, he's doing something in your heart, and he wants to begin that good work in your life as he's done in many of our lives, and he wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.